So the Baal HaTanya wrote the Shulchan Aruch also. The Shulchan Aruch that we use is written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. But the Chassidim call him the Baal HaTanya of HaShulchan Aruch, and he wrote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Mishnah Berurah quotes it on every other page, a quote from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So the Baal HaTanya Shulchan Aruch is basically like a Chayodam, or like a Kitz of Shulchan Aruch. He takes every Simen in Shulchan Aruch, every Sif. And you have the opinion of the Taz and the Magen Avraham, and then Yeridah, you have the Shach and the Taz. And he gives you the opinion that he thinks is correct. And he gives you a maskana. So basically, he goes according to the Shulchan Aruch, and he gives you the psa. Except for one section of Shulchan Aruch, he rewrote from top to bottom. Hilchos Talmud Torah. Baal HaTanya rewrote the whole thing from the beginning to the end. Because when you look in the Shulchan Aruch, which is based on the Rambam, everything is backwards. Everything is lopsided. If you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, he starts off, opening line in the Rambam, who's Pater from Talmud Torah? Why do you start who's Pater? Say, who's Chayiv and what the Chayiv Talmud Torah? It starts out who's Pater. Very, very awkward. Like the Rambam collected all the Gemaras and he put everything in order. The order is Ktzat Tzolei Al Yerecha over here. Hink Tunta Abisl. Over here, Tshvach, the way the Rambam set it up. So the Baal HaTanya rewrites the whole Hilchos Talmud Torah. So he writes a very startling Chiddush. But then after you get used to it, so that's what it says in the Chiddush. He said, what is the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? There's some people learn in the yeshivas, they think the ikar of Talmud Torah is to be able to answer Rebbe Kivega's kashas. Rebbe Kivega says, Hashem Yair Einai, and I am Hashem. What do you mean? Rebbe Kivega didn't know the answer. That's not the ikar of Talmud Torah. The ikar of Talmud Torah, to be successful in learning, to ask a knockout kasha, not to ask a knockout kasha, not to give a knockout teretz. The Ikar of Talmud Torah is Ulamaratim Osam Ushmartim La'as Osam. What is Osam? All the Taryag Mitzvahs. We have an obligation to learn all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Very unfortunate, hardly anybody learns the Sefer Mitzvahs LaHarambam or the Sefer Chinuch. They should really teach the Sefer Chinuch in high schools. It's an easy reading for people your age. Anyone after high school can read the Sefer Chinuch. He gives you the listing of all the 613 mitzvahs, and then it gives you a thumbnail description of each one. It gives you the Tam HaMitzvah, Kavanas HaMitzvah. It's a beautiful Sefer. So the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic. We use the Hebrew translation. Sometimes it's kedai to use the original Arabic. Every so often there's an error in the translation. So the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs as an introduction to the Mishnah Torah. And if you look in the Mishnah Torah, the beginning of every section, we just said the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says, he always writes, how many mitzvahs are we going to cover in this section? Hilchos Erevin, Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, every section, he does in the beginning, how many mitzvahs are we going to cover? And then by the end, you get to the end of the Mishnah Torah, he covered all the 613 mitzvahs. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic, then the Rambam, in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, gives you a kitzur, Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara in Hebrew that he himself wrote, and the whole purpose, the whole layout of the Mishnah Torah is to cover all of the 613 mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is Olamadatim Osam. We should learn the 613 mitzvahs. Which are they? Most people don't know which are the 613. Big Rabban, big Talmid Chacham don't know. You mechuyev to know Olamadatim Osam, to learn which are the 613 mitzvahs and to know all of the details of the mitzvahs. The Stipler wrote a Sefer Chai Yodam. He has interesting ideas, interesting hashkofa. So he says, a lot of times the Talmud goes to a yeshiva, and the other Talmidim ask the Rebbe, they stump the expert. They ask the Rebbe Akasha, the Rebbe doesn't know the Teretz. Or the Rebbe asks Akasha, he says, over Akasha, and the Talmud says, a Gevaldige Teretz. And the other Talmud feels like an idiot. I don't have such a sharp head. I don't know how to ask such a good Kasha. I don't know how to give such a knockout Teretz. So the Talmud who doesn't ask the Kasha doesn't give it the Turetz and feels as if he's not being successful in Talmud Torah. So he says that's the icing on top of the second piece of cake of dessert. That's not the essence of Talmud Torah. Essence of Talmud, the meat and potatoes of Talmud Torah is to know what is the saying Chumash. What does the Torah Shmal Peh have to say about this? And what does Rav Meir say? What does Rav Yudah say? How do they understand? And what does Abai Barovah? How do Abai understand? Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, how do Rav understand? How do we paskin? How does Rashi understand? How does Tez understand? If you got the facts straight, you get the dinim straight, that's success in Talmud Torah. Success doesn't have to be measured by how many gevaldige kashis you can ask, or how many gevaldige terutzim you can answer. That's one chelek of hatzlocha and limud haTorah. But that's dessert. That's the icing on top. That's the icing on top of the second piece of dessert. That's not the essence. The essence of Talmud Torah is to know what it says, to know the halachas, to be able to say pasuk says in Chumash, and the Torah Shabbat Peh says like this. And Rabbi Yehuda had a machlekes, what's the nature of the din? Is it like this, like that? And Abai Rava had a machlekes, what Rabbi Yehuda say? And the din is like this. The din is like Rava, and if it's Yalkakam, din is like Abai Venaimarim. To know what the din is. The Gemara considers learning Lasukish Maitza Liba de Hilchas at the highest level of learning. In European yeshivas, before the Second World War, they used to make fun of anyone who would learn Lemaskana Lahaloche. They would make fun, they would say, oh, you want to go into the Rabbanis? I remember when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, so one of the boys would ask in the shir, we had European rabbis, they'd ask in the shir, so what's the Haloche? So the Rebbe was a European who didn't like this, so he used to say in Yiddish, call up the Agudas Rabbanim and ask about the halacha. That's not learning. Learning is you just learn pure. Torah Lishma. That's Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma, the highest level of Torah Lishma is Lasukah Shmaitza, Adiba de Hilchasit. To know what is the maskana? Not just to know there's a machlekes hatanaim, where they edich simakars, edim sirakars, how do you paskin? I don't know. That's ridiculous. You should learn everything. You should know all the different opinions. You should know which is the accepted opinion. You should know which direction to go. They tell the story that when Rabbi Yashiv was a young man learning in the Kailo, so he always used to learn the sugyas, all the Rishayim, and then he used to learn in the Tur and the Beis Yosef, and then he used to learn the Shulchan Aruch till the final Maskana. All of his Chaverim used to laugh at him. And then he got the last laugh. When they had Shilas, no one knew how to answer a straight answer. Well, Yashiv knew. He had worked everything out. When he asked Mashiach, he knew it right away on the spot because he had worked it out, but he learned it more. He wasn't groping in the dark. Is a Gemara somewhere about something or another? He's supposed to learn the Gemara, Halacha Lamaisin. The Beis HaLevi points out, based on that pasuk, Ulamadatim Osam, Ushmartim Laas Osam, he points out there are really two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One is that Limud HaTorah really serves as a Hechsha mitzvah. L'maratim osam, mishmartim la'asol sam. You have to keep Shabbos, you have to keep Kashrus, you have to observe tzitzis and tefillin. So you have to learn the dinim in order to make sure that you're observing the mitzvahs properly. L'maratim osam, mishmartim la'asol sam. If you're not going to learn the dinim, so you probably be Mechal Shabbos. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Hagdama. The Chela Gimel, if a person doesn't learn Hilchah Shabbos, for sure, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. How's he going to know intuitively what the dinim are? The same is true regarding tzitzis and tefillin. If you don't learn the dinim, you certainly won't be able to observe the mitzvahs properly. So he says, the Beis HaLevi writes, this aspect of Talmud Torah as a Hechsha mitzvah, Olamadatim Osam, Mishmartim La'asosam, applies equally to the women as it applies to the men. Whatever mitzvahs the women have to observe, the women don't have to wear tefillin, they don't have to wear tzitzis. But Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha they have to observe. So they're obligated to learn the laws just the same as the men. And as a Hechsha mitzvah, you really shouldn't recite a bracha over Birchas HaTorah. You shouldn't really recite Birchas HaTorah. When a person buys a lulav for the first 2 days in each Alachem, when a person goes to the store and he buys a lulav, a person buys a pair of tefillin to be able to wear the tefillin, he doesn't say a bracha when he buys the lulav, even though you're in each Alachem. Buying the lulav is only a Hechsha mitzvah when he cuts off the lulav from the tree. The Gemara says, if you hold on to the lulav when it's still attached to the tree, you're not yotze. It has to be detached. The Gemara says in Perek Ablezer of the Milo, according to the Tana Ablezer, you're permitted to cut off the lulav from the tree on Shabbos. If you didn't cut it off on Erev Shabbos, you're permitted to cut it off on Shabbos. Nachshirei mitzvah adeches on Shabbos. We don't paskin like him. But that was his opinion. So when you cut off the lulav, or you buy a lulav from the store, you don't recite a bracha. You only recite a bracha when you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah. When you tie tzitzis on the beggar, you're not fulfilling any mitzvah. You don't say a bracha when you tie the tzitzis on the beggar. The Gemara says, when you wear the tzitzis, that's the key my mitzvah, then you say the bracha. So if the only obligation to learn Torah would have been based on this pasuk alone, ulamadatam osam, mishmartam lasosam, and the women are just as obligated as the men in Talmud Torah as a Hechsha mitzvah, then we would never have recited a Birchas HaTorah. The answer is, there's another pasuk. L'maratim osam es b'neichem l'dababam and more psukim that you have to learn Torah. And the other psukim mean to tell us that liman haTorah is a kima mitzvah b'fnei atzma. We have an obligation to learn even those halachas that are not nageya b'zman hazeh, that we don't have in sight, we don't see that we're going to fulfill. Let's say all the mitzvahs all the halachas of Tumah v'Tara. It's not relevant today. Those who live in America, we study all the dinim of Zeroyim. Now it's so part of Zeroyim is Nageya. In America, most of it is not Nageya. But still, when you learn the dinim that are not Nageya, it's also a Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The men are obligated to learn Kola Torah Kula, even those parts of Halacha that are not L'maratim Osam, Mishmaratim L'Asosam. Talmud Torah exists as a Mitzvah B'fnei Atzma. Women are not M'chuyiv in that. So because Talmud Torah exists not only as a Hechsher Mitzvah, it's a Mitzvah B'fnei Atzma to learn Torah, so that's why the men recite the Brichas HaTorah when they learn, because the Talmud Torah is not merely a Hechsher Mitzvah, it's a Gemar Mitzvah. That's why the Beis HaLevi has tainus against, and the Shulchan Aruch it says that if a woman plans to learn, so the woman should recite Brichas HaTorah before she learns. So the question is, but the Mechaber paskens that women do not recite the bracha when they fulfill the mitzvah saseh shazman grama. That's one of the things that Chacham Avadya made a whole tumult about, that they were forcing all the Sephardi girls who went to the Beis Yankiv to learn like the Ashkenazi girls. And he said, that's not our tradition. What are they forcing Ashkenazi psakanas? The Sephardi girls should not recite brachas when they shake a lulav, and he said they should not recite brichas kriyashma, because they're not mukhayim in Kireshma. He said they shouldn't say Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach when his daughters went to Beis Yankim. Said he gave the daughters a hard time. You're not davening. He said, my father said we're not allowed to say that. What do you mean not allowed to say that? So he had to send a letter. So in school they sent out five Sephardi girls to daven in the next room, not to make everybody else crazy. The Sephardim have their own tradition. So the Mechaber writes the tradition of the Chachmei Svara that women don't recite the bracha on the mitzvah saseh shazman grama. You only say the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvah yisav tzivanu, and the mitzvah they're obligated in. The Ramah quotes the Balei HaTosfos who disagree. But the Mechaber who says that women don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah that they're obligated to do, why does he quote the Ogur who says that women should recite a bracha when they learn Torah? The Ogur goes l'shitasa, the Ogur goes with the shitas chachmei Ashkenaz, that women do say a bracha when they shake a lulav, when they sit in sukkah. So if a woman wants to learn, so she should recite Birchas HaTorah. But if the Mechaber holds not so, Mechaber holds women are not allowed to volunteer a bracha and a mitzvah that they're exempt from, so women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. So the Magen Avraham says, no, the reason why is because women are mechuyev to learn those halachas that are relevant to them. The Beis HaLevi says, but that's only a Hechsher mitzvah. You don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah when you do a Hechsher mitzvah. Only by the men are they obligated to learn Torah as a Kiyam HaMitzvah b'fnei atzma, not only b'Torah's Hechsher mitzvah. That's the famous Beis HaLevi. The difference between the two mitzvahs of Talmud Torah, L'mad Adamos and Mishmartim La'asosam, is to learn Torah, Torah's Hechsher mitzvah, that will enable us to observe the other 612 mitzvahs. L'mad Adamos and Asbenechem is a mitzvah to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So one nafkamina is that women are only mechuyev in the first, not mechuyev in the second. Another nafkamina, because of the first mitzvah, you wouldn't say a bracha. It's only a Hechsher mitzvah. Because of the mitzvah b'fnei atzma, you do say a bracha. And the third nafkamina is, does it make sense that you should learn dinim that don't apply to us? Should you spend time learning dinim of Tumah v'Tara if it's not negeh b'zman hazeh? So as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma does apply. The question is, what kind of a mitzvah is that? Why should it be? Why should there be a mitzvah to learn dinim that are not relevant to us, that are not noyig b'zman hazeh? So the Zohar has an expression which is quoted by the Baal HaTanya in his Tanya, and it's quoted by Rab Chaim Volozhiner. Rab Chaim Volozhiner was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He's the one who founded the Volozhiner Yeshiva in 1801. Then the Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. He didn't live so long. The Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. And then it was closed down by the Russian government. So Rab Chaim Volozhiner wrote a sefer on Hashkofa that's called Nefesh HaChaim. It was printed after he passed away. Sefer was printed, so his son, Rabbi Tzolei Volozhiner, printed this sefer. He calls it Nefesh HaChaim. This is a memorial, Nefesh. Enosim Nefashos LeTzadikim. Nefesh means a matzeva. So he calls it Nefesh HaChaim, a memorial to my father, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. He wrote this sefer. So the Nefesh HaChaim, 99% of the time, says exactly the same as the Tanya. But he says it in different words. And they quote the same passages in the Zohar. Baal HaTanya explains it better. Nefesh HaChaim only quotes the Zohar, the Zohar, the Zohar, you don't know what he said. And Baal HaTanya is nice enough to translate the Zohar into Hebrew, sometimes he understands it better. But basically, this, 99% of the time they say the same thing. And then on a few obscure issues, they have a machlokes that's so dak as dik. You don't even understand what they got so carried away. By the time you got so upset about what the Nefesh HaChaim said, so we don't really understand what they're fighting about. But 99% of the time, they say exactly the same. So one of the things Rav Soloveitchik has in several of his published essays is this. The Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Baal HaTanya both say the same thing as far as this is concerned. That that they quote from the passage from the Pikudin, the mitzvahs, inan evarin de malka. These are the limbs of the king. Means that the mitzvahs are Torah, are do's and don'ts. You have mitzvah says that you have to do, and mitzvah says that you're not allowed to do. But in addition to being, we shouldn't just think that the mitzvahs are just a metaphor. Every mitzvah means what it says. You got to keep Shabbos, you got to keep kashrus and Shabbos, you got to keep it. That's what it says, that's what it means. But in addition to being an obligation to do something, a mitzvah, mitzvah says, a mitzvah says, when you take the whole picture of kol ha-terakula bichlalusa, this is a description of Elokus derech mashal. It's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If someone would say what the Elokus is, we wouldn't understand one word. That's from the Kuzari, he has such a line, Eli Yedaitiv Hayisiv. If I would understand Elokus, I would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The only one who understands Elokus is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Eli Yedaitiv Hayisiv. So you can't really understand Elokus. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam would give us a mashal to explain Elokus, we wouldn't understand the mashal either. It's such a... How do we have a hasaga? How do we have a musav? What the Elokus is? So the Nefesh HaChaim writes, the Chaim HaLoshan writes, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of Elokus. So if you want to understand anything about Elokus, anything about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, learn kol ha-terakula. And this is a description of Elokus. Where does this expression come from? That the Torah is a mashal of Elokus. So it's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. Kashiyama ha-mashal ha-kadmoni merishoyim yetzei resha. And the ancient proverb goes, Kashiyama ha-mashal ha-kadmoni merishoyim yetzei resha. All evil things emanate from evil people. That's what it says. So Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Mishpatim quote a medrash on the pasuk v'ho'elikim in eliyadai. It says that if a person kills b'shogeg, he has to run away to one of the six ari miklot. What did he do? It was b'shogeg. He didn't do it. Ho'elikim in eliyadai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it to happen. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause me to kill a guy b'shogeg? Now I have to run. So we assume merishayim yetzei resha. Must be you probably did some avera. You deserve to be punished. I mean, Hashemayim, and he deserves
to die. The other guy deserves to die. So, Min Hashemayim, they caused me to climb down the ladder. I should fall on him. He should get killed, and I should run away to the Ari Miklot. So, Min Hashemayim, they took care of both of them. The other guy deserved to die. He died. I fell on him. And I deserve to be punished. I'll have to go, run away to the Ari Miklot. And this was all Min Hashemayim. So Rashi on that pasuk, in Parshas Mishpatim, quotes the Medrash. Medrash says, "Kasher yoma ha-mashal ha-kadmoni me-rishayim yetzei resha." What is the mashal ha-kadmoni? The Torah. Shehi mishal shal ha-kadosh baruch hu, shehu kadbono shel olam. The Ribbono shel olam is the ancient one with the capital A. He was there before the world came into existence. He's kadbono shel olam. And the mashal ha-kadmoni is the Chumash. The Chumash is the mashal of ha-kadosh baruch hu. How do you translate the mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Chafetz Chaim, in addition to writing Chafetz Chaim, all about Lashon Hara, people are afraid to read it because they're afraid, how can you observe all those dinim? Most of the Chafetz Chaim tells you when you're obligated to tell Lashon Hara. But you're not allowed to, we all know. He tells you when you're permitted to, when you're obligated to tell Lashon Hara. People always have everything backwards. When they're obligated to, I don't want to ruin a shidduch. I don't want to ruin a job. No, that's when you're mechuyav to tell. To save the girl, that she shouldn't fall in. But to save the boss, that he shouldn't have a ganef walking off with all of his money in the business. So you're mechuyav over there to tell Lashon Hara. So in addition to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim about Lashon Hara, and Shmiras HaLashon, about the Rechilus and everything, he wrote other Svarim, beautiful Svarim. You have the three volumes of the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. Beautiful Svarim about Hashkafa, different aspects of Hashkafa. He wrote the Sefer Machne Yisrael for the Jews in the army. That the people used, and people in the army, Jewish soldiers used it. And then one of the other Swami he wrote about Hashkafa, very beautiful ideas, philosophy, you can call it. He has a Sefer Shem Olam, one of the Swami.
So he comments on this medrash. What does it mean? The Chumash is Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean it's a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. The Gemara learns on Dinim from the fact that the word is written Male, Chaser, the fact that it has an extra phrase, why is it a Kefa Lashon, Tanik Tanik, Nosim Titim, Pesach Tiftach, Mos Yumas, and so on. Whenever you have an expression in the Chumash, it was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we assume everything has a reason. That's how the Chachamim darshan every word and every letter. Our tradition has it that Torah Min HaShemayim means it was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only mean it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mashal of Him. You want to understand what the Elokus is all about, learn the Torah, and the Torah is a description of Elokus. When you take the whole Torah Bichlolusa from the beginning to the end, then you get a glimpse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. So that's where Abchaim Balozhenitz says, a description of Elokus, we wouldn't understand one word. Eli Yedaita B'Hayisiv. A real Mashal, we wouldn't understand one word. He says, the Torah is a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal. The Saber Soiz Mashihi Yecholu Lishmoya. To give us an inkling of an understanding of what the Elokus is all about. We have the Psukim in Parshas Bahaloscha. The Rambam lists off the 13 principles of faith. He considers the 13 Ikori Hamunah of the Jewish religion. So one of them is, we believe in prophecy. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu menabei lebnei adam. He can give prophecy. There are those philosophers who say that this is physically impossible. How is it possible for a human being to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We know it happened and it's going to happen, and it happens now also. We talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we daven, He listens to us, and it's possible for Him to give us messages also. Nevuah and Tefillah are communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings in both directions. There is communication. It can be communication. So the Rambam has one ikur, we believe in the principle of Nevuah. Number two, we believe Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest level of Nevuah. He was the Adon HaNevim. What's the significance of saying Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+. He gets the award at graduation. And Yeshaya gets an A, and Yirmiyah gets an A-, and Yechezkel gets a B+. What is he giving grades over here? What's the significance of saying Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNevim? So the Rambam explains further. He has another Iker in the Ikori Hamuna, that the laws of the Torah can never be changed. Any other prophet other than Moshe Rabbeinu is only given Nevuah. Nevuah by definition means Hayruah Shor. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi who was given Nevuah L'Doros. Nevuah that's binding throughout all the future generations. And if any Navi will come after Moshe Rabbeinu and say, like Muhammad came, and he said he's a prophet, the Rambam always refers to Muhammad as the Meshugan. He was crazy. And he refers to Yoshke. So he says, if a Navi HaShekhar will come, either him or him, they'll come and they'll say, God changed his mind. You don't have to keep the laws of Shabbos anymore. You can keep Shabbos on Sunday, or you don't have to shake a lulav anymore. It's biyadua that he's a Navi HaShekhar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. The mitzvahs are binding throughout all the future generations. The Rambam, in fact, writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, Rambam has the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off the 14 ikarim, the 14 kololim that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan HaMitzvahs or not. So the first klal is, and you only count mitzvahs deraisa, you don't count mitzvahs derabanan. The second klal is, you only count mitzvahs that are noyeg l'doros. If there was a Hirah Shah, once in the history of the world, the Jews were expected to knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim and ask for matonis. That was once in the history of the world. So that doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The word mitzvah, Rashi writes in his commentary on Chumash, the beginning of Parshas Tzav. Rashi quotes from the Sifra, from the Tanaim, Ein Lashon Tzav, Lashon Ziris, Miyar L'Doros. A mitzvah that's the Hegdash L'Doros is called a mitzvah. It's not the Hegdash L'Doros. You can't refer to it as a mitzvah. It's a Hayra Shor, it's a Nevuah. That's exactly the difference between Nevuah and a Torah, then the Doris. The Minchas Chinuch has a famous kasha. There's a Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of Kris and lists off how many Averis are there where you punish with Kuris. So it says, Lamed Vav Krisa Samuaz Batur. There are 36 Averis that have a punishment of Karis. Then the Gemara in Sanhedrin lists off Elush Ad Misa. A Tosefta lists off all of the people who do an Avera for which the punishment is Misa B'deshmaim. Misa B'deshmaim is not the same as Karis. Karis is a Mocham Adigainish, Misa B'deshmaim is less. That's how it says in the last daf in Maseches Moed Kotten. That's what it says in the Bavli. Maybe the Rishami disagrees. That's what it says in the Bavli. That Koris is a bigger Einish and Misa B'dei Shemaim. Koris, the person should die by the age of 50. Misa B'dei Shemaim, he dies by the age of 60. So the Gemara, in the end of Sanhedrin, and the Gemara quotes at Tosefta, and Daf Pedala quotes, Ve'elu Shem Misa, gives you a whole list of people, Achai Misa B'dei Shemaim. So one of the Averis for which the punishment is Misa B'dei Shemaim is Ha'over Al-Divrei Novi. A Novi instructs me that I should do something and I don't listen, so I deserve a punishment, Misa B'dei Shemaim. So the Menchas Chinuch is bothered with Akasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu said you should talk Lashon Har. Anyone who talks Lashon Har is Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim. Wow. Some of my best friends talk Lashon Har. Anyone, Moshe Rabbeinu said you have to say Kriya Shema Bizmana. Some of my best friends miss Man Kriya Shema. So anyone who misses Man Kriya Shema, Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim. So what do you need a list of 11 people? The Brisa lists off all the people of Chai Misa Nishma. Any sneeze, any avera that you do, any mitzvah, any avera that Moshe Rabbeinu said is right away Misa V'dei Shamayim. So different terutzim are given on this kasha. And now the standard teretz that's assumed in all the yeshivas all over is the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik published 70 years ago, that he was mefarsim in his teretz. Eibral Divrei Navi is Misa V'dei Shamayim is only if the Navi tells you Hayru Ashur B'Toras Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu said things B'Toras Hayru Ashur also. He said you have to knock on the next door neighbor's doors and Erev Pesach B'Tzias and Sarmines Kol Matonah. So whoever didn't do it, B'Taka be Misa V'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said no one should need leave over Mon till the morning. Someone will leave that was Hayru Ashur. That doesn't apply. If the one will fall down today, it'll be mutter to leave it overnight. That was a Hayru Ashur then. And if anyone would violate it, there would be Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said a lot of Hayru Ashur also. But when Moshe Rabbeinu said Dinim that Noig L'Doris, that's not called Oivral Divrei Navi. That's called Oivral Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah has, Torah mitzvahs have different categories of punishment. Sometimes Malkus, sometimes Misa, sometimes Koris, sometimes Misa B'dei Shamayim. But it's not called Oivral Divrei Navi. Oivral Divrei Navi is only if the Yisra is B'Toras Nevuah. B'Toras Nevuah means as a Hayru Ashur. So the Rambam counts this as one of the Ikori HaAmunah. Zos HaTar Losi Mochlefes, the laws of the Torah never change, because most of what Moshe Rabbeinu had to say was a Din L'Doiris, and Torah doesn't change. Why such an obstinate insistence on the part of the Orthodox in our generation? That starts off as the main difference between the Orthodox and the other groups, the non-Orthodox. That the Orthodox insist, Zos HaTorah Lo Osim Mochlefes, the laws of the Torah do not change. It doesn't matter what continent, what century you live in, what society it is. A lot of times, based on the society, the Shaila is a different Shaila. You have Hilchas Basa B'Cholov, goes on for 40 pages in the Shulchan Aruch. So, under different circumstances, it's Osa B'Hano. Sometimes Osa B'Achila, Muta B'Hano. Sometimes Muta B'Achila. They're different Sifim in Shulchan Aruch. You got to figure it out. So sometimes, what appears to be the exact same Shaila will be really a different Shaila because of the whole background. So the world keeps on changing, so the Shailas keep on changing. What often appears to be the exact same Shaila is not the same Shaila. So sometimes we'll change the Psak, not because it didn't change, it didn't stay the same, because the Metzias that you're dealing with is a different Metzias, because there are more details. There's more to the Shaila. You shouldn't have just focus in on the Shaila over here. You have to look at the whole Shaila with all the ramifications, with the broad picture of the Shaila. So sometimes we paskin differently because it's a different Shaila. But basically, the laws of the Torah never change. So why such? That's what the Baal HaTanya and the Rav Chaim Volozhin have both come to explain. Why such an obstinate insistence on Zos HaTorah Lo Osim Mochlefes? Why? Fine Torah min HaShemayim. But if you live in a generation, a different generation, where things are different, so what's so bad? Why can't a Koyim marry a Grusha? Years ago, to be a divorced woman was a Busha. So a Koyim should marry a Grusha. And the Reform said years ago that today there's nothing embarrassing about being divorced. So a Koyim is allowed to marry a Grusha. What's so bad? Why can't the Rebbe Shlom change his mind and say a Koyim is allowed to marry a Grusha? The answer is because we believe that the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi tells us, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence never changes. Change is only chal in the Briya. The Rabbanu Shalom is above the world. He's above the Briya. He created the world. So change is chal in everything in the world. Human bodies change. The plants change. The carbon changes. Everything in the world is changing. The metals change. The earth is changing. The air is changing. Everything in the world is changing. The Rabbanu Shalom is the one thing in the world that doesn't change, because he's not in the world. He's above the world. He's outside of the world. He's lemayla min hateva. So the Navi tells us, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. So that's why the Rambam has this insistence, Zos HaTorah lo si mochlefes. The Torah is a description of the essence of Elokus. So it's impossible to change. The Baruch Shalom's essence doesn't change. And that's why the laws of the Torah never change. So that's why when the Torah says the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Bahaloscho, when Miriam said Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe, who does he think he is? He's such a Balgaiva. He has to be Pirish Ben Hoisha because he became a Novi? I'm a Nevi, I live with my husband. My brother Aaron Akain is a Novi. He lives with his wife. My brother went to his head. He thinks he's a bigger Novi than all of us. Why do they have to be Pirish Ben Hoisha? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Miriam and he punishes her. And he says, of course, your brother is so humble, you don't realize. He is the Adon HaNeviim. And he says, Mi'an Nevi'ach HaMashem Ma'arei Elov Esfadah B'chaloi Ma'adab B'alokin Avdei Moshe B'chol Beisi Nemenhu and so on. Then the Pasuk describes what's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Usmunas Hashem Yabit. He's the only one who saw the image of Hashem. What do you mean the image of Hashem? God doesn't have any image. Kiloi reason called Tmuna. There is no image. God doesn't have a body. So how do you translate the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu saw? Tmunas Hashem Yabit. So the Pasuk shot what it means is Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Novi who was given Torah. Tmunas Hashem means the Torah. From the beginning to the end is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Tmunas Hashem. The other Nevi'im, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, before and after Moshe Rabbeinu, no one was given Torah. They were always given Hayru Hashoah. Hayru Hashoah is not a description of the essence of Elokim. Hayru Hashoah, Kadosh Baruch wants you to do something now. But the Taryag Mitzvah Satorah, that's Tmunas Hashem Yabid, that's the Moshel HaKadmoni. The Gemara has the famous comment in Masechet Shabbos that the children in Cheder came to the Beis Medrash and they were telling the Tanoim what they learned. They learned Aleph Beis, and they had a ganze drasha on the Aleph Beis, and then they learned Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they learned Aseres Adibras, and apparently the Rebbe told them, Anochi is a Rosh Tevis, Ano, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, Ano Nafshi, Ksovis Yehovis. I wrote down my essence, I wrote down the description of what I'm like, and I gave you the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, that's a description of His essence, Ano Nafshi, Ksovis Yehovis. This is what we believe, and that's why we believe this is the main crux of the dispute between the Orthodox and all the other groups. That the Orthodox believe that the Torah is not merely a description of mitzvahs, which it certainly is. Anything that it says a mitzvah, you have to observe the mitzvah. It's not just a metaphor, but it's also, you put together all the mitzvahs, everything, the total picture of everything, gives you a glimpse of what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. So getting back again, why should there be a mitzvah of Talmud Torah other than Lamadat Moshe Mishmartam Lasosam? Why should what's the inyan of learning those parts of Torah which are not relevant to Halacha Lamaisa? So the answer is, it says in Kriyat Shema we say every day twice a day, we have to ask Hashem Elokecha. You have to develop a love for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. How does one develop a love for Hakadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi on that pasuk, we have to ask Hashem Elokecha, quotes from the Sifrei. The next pasuk tells you how. You fall in love with someone if you know the person. If you don't know the person, how can you fall in love? When you marry a nice girl, and you get over the years, you get to know her better and better. I'm married 47 years. And when you get to know the girl better and better, if there's what to love, then you get, when you know her better, then you love her more. You may realize that you made a big mistake and there's nothing there. It's an empty keli. But if there's what to love, the more you know the person, the more there's going to be ideas and the more there's going to be ahava. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, we have to, Hashem Elokecha, develop a love for me. How can we love an invisible being? We don't know how to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know anything about him. The answer is, learn the Torah, and you'll learn about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll be able to develop a love for him. So the women all ask the kasha, the women don't have a mitzvah of Avos Hashem. So why don't they have an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula? How come they only have an obligation to learn L'amartam Osam Mishmartam La'asosam? They should also love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shouldn't we say the only way for them to reach Avos Hashem is through learning the Torah? It's a good question. It's a very good question. Rabbi Hirsch has an essay where he has a suggestion that perhaps we assume that women have a natural tendency to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more so than the men. Why is that so? It's an interesting point. The Gemara says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava together, so the Gemara says it would do partzufin. They first created as two bodies that were connected, and then the surgery was done and they were separated. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava. Adam and Chava were both there and he separated the two. So that's called du partzufin. So the Gemara says when they were du partzufin, the Gemara assumes that they were back to back facing opposite directions. This is a topic that's discussed in the Zohar. Were they back to, when they were du partzufin, were they back to back, or were they, was the back one was facing the same direction as the person in the front? Were they both facing the same direction or opposite directions? That's the whole discussion. The Zohar says that the letter Tzadik in Tzav Ashuris has two heads on top, Shnei Roshin. Two heads represent this Tzur of Du Partzufin. So the two ways to make a Tzadik, if you've ever noticed, is the Ksav Bis Yosef and the Ksav Ari. So the Ksav Bis Yosef, that's what most people have, Ksav Bis Yosef and a Sefer Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzah. So the two Yuds are both facing the same direction. The two Yuds on top have a neck on the side, coming down on the right side, and they're both facing ahead, same direction. And the Ksav Ari, the two Yuds on top, facing opposite directions. The Yud to the left is facing left, and the Yud to the right is facing the right, and the two necks are neck to neck, instead of facing the same direction. So the machloikis between the Ksav Ari and Ksav Bes Yosef is based on these two passages in the Zohar. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, Du Partzufin, they're facing the same direction or opposite directions. So the Vilna Gaon claims the Teretz and the Stira and the Zohar is that it depends Kodem Achet or Lachar Achet. Before they sinned, all of mankind was working together, teamwork. They were going in the same direction. They were both looking in the same direction. And after the Chet, everybody became selfish. Everybody's out for himself. You don't have two people facing the same direction. Everybody's in a different direction. So after the chet, they have back to neck, looking in opposite direction. That's what the Zohar says. That's what the Vilna Gaon interprets in the Zohar, because he says the ksav should be ksav Bes Yosef. The tzaddik should be the way it was kodem achet, not lachar achet. If you ever see the NCSY symbol as a yud, is a tzaddik, so it's a ksav ari tzaddik with the two yuds facing in opposite direction. It's not a normal tzaddik. Like, I don't know who made that symbol before I was born, I think, when they started NCSY. So they picked on the Ksav Ari of the Tzaddik with facing. So the Gemara says like that. The Gemara says that the two Du Partzufim were facing opposite directions. So the Gemara says, who is facing ahead? When Adam and Chava were walking together, who was facing forward and who was facing backward? The Gemara says, Adam Arishan. The Gemara says, Ochav Akedem Tzartani. The Pasuk in Iyov. Ochav Akedem Tzartani means facing two different directions. That's a description of Adam and Chava when they were joined together, Du Partzufin. So the Gemara says when they were walking forward, so who was looking forward and who was looking backward? So the Gemara says Adam was looking forward and Chava was looking backward. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that indicated that men are always looking for some new adventure, and women are always connected to the past. Women will always remember, my wife remembers 47 years later, my wife remembers everything that happened at the wedding. I just remember I got married. That's it. I don't remember everything. She remembers who was there, who wasn't there. She remembers everything. She remembers we have 9 babies. All the babies already have their own babies. So she remembers when every baby was born and this one had this condition and sick and this and that. She remembers everything. The women remember. Women are always crying over spilt milk. They're always talking about the past. And the husbands always say, let's talk about the future. No, women always stuck to the past. That's what the Chazal say. B'schus nashim tzidkani yis nigal avisenim in Mitzrayim. The women stuck to the tradition. They stuck to the Masorah. And the Mefarsh Machumish say, the Meraglim were men. If they would have sent women, it wouldn't have happened. The women were were connected to the Masur. The women wouldn't have given such a bad report like the men gave by the Meraglim. And the Benoit Slavcha loved Eretz Yisrael. The men couldn't care less. The men weren't interested in Eretz Yisrael. The women said, no, we have to stick to tradition. So that's what Rabbi Hirsch has in his essay. He says, we assume that the women stick to tradition more than the men. So the women, let's say the Gemara says, why do we wear a yarmulke? So the Gemara in the end of Shabbos tells the story that there was a wild kid. As a child, he was wild. He was beating everybody up. He was stealing everything from everybody else. And the mother asked one of the Rabbanim, what should she do? This kid is crazy. So the Rabbanim said, put a yarmulke on the kid. It'll instill a little Yerushalayim in him. So the kid wore a yarmulke, and everything was fine. And one day, the wind blew the yarmulke off his head, and he went berserk, and he started grabbing fruit from someone else's tree, and he started punching the other kids. He went wild. So apparently it helps that they wear a yarmulke, so it instills Yerushalayim. So why don't we put a yarmulke on girls also? Why only men wear a yarmulke? So our minig is that we assume that the women are stuck to tradition, and they're not going to go wild, they're not going to do any crazy things. So apparently, maybe that's the reason why we assume that the Torah never required of the women that they should learn the Torah to develop in themselves Avas Hashem. They have a natural Avas Hashem. They're naturally stuck to the traditions. They'll hold on to all the traditions. Someone was asking me the other day, where was I yesterday? I was in Male Adumim. So we were eating lunch together, a whole bunch of boys. So one of the boys was a Sephardi. So he surprises me. So he says, what can we all learn from Chacham Avadya? So I said, Techaza. Chacham Avadya learned Pahasmada all day and all night. Chacham Avadya has an essay. He put out a sefer many years ago on Shavuos, on a different Yom Tovim. So he writes about the significance of Chazara, how important it is, not just to learn the first time to get excited. You have to keep on reviewing and reviewing and reviewing. He had a photographic memory. They say when Rav Soloveitchik visited Eretz Yisrael, the one time he was a candidate for the Rabbonus in Tel Aviv, in 1935, Rav Kook was on his deathbed then. Rav Soloveitchik was here on Shavuos and visited Rav Kook. He was dying, and then he died on Gimel Elul of that year. So Rav Soloveitchik was invited to give shiurim in different koilalim at that time. And one koilal he gave a shiur, and he needed a rashba. So they gave him a rashba. That page was ripped out from the rashba, the page that he needed. He wanted to make a diuk in the lashon of the rashba. So he said, does anybody have a rashba? So there was somebody there in the koilal. So they couldn't find the rashba. So someone said, what paragraph do you need? I'll tell you by heart. So he told him, which topic? So he started rattling off the rashba by heart. So he said, that's right. That line, you see, he made a deal to that line. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't know who it was. So Rabbi Genak, he asked Chacham Avadya's, one of his sons, recently, a couple of years ago, whether his father learned in that kollel that year, 1935, started to make a calculation. He says, he's pretty sure that his father did. So he says, that's the only one that it could be. Who could it be to say Rashba by heart, word for word? So they used to say about Chacham Avadya, what's a big deal? He had a photographic memory. So he was very hurt by that. He was very insulted. He said, I read the Taisus 100 times. That's why I know it by heart. Not just I look at it and I remember it by heart. He has it 100 times at Taisus. I never did that on any Taisus. I never read any Taisus 100 times. And in Sefer on Shavuos, he speaks about the significance of Chazara. So he relates an incident. He once said on one occasion that he met 3 Ge'onei Olam who knew Kala Torah Kula. So someone told over, he just remembered 2. He didn't remember. One was Rav Tzipi Pesach Frank. One was Rav Reuven Katz from Petach Tikva. Chacham Avadya was in the Bezin with him for a while at Petach Tikva. And the third one, they didn't say who it was. I don't know who. So he said about Rav Tzipi Pesach Frank, when he was younger, he learned Yevamos with the Chavrusa. I forgot. He prints who the Chavrusa was. I forgot the name. Also, it's a famous name. And they learned Yevamos till Daf Pezayin. Pezayin starts Heter Agunas, all the Dinam Ames Baila. So they reviewed it 90 times, 9-0. 90 times. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank wanted to review it another 30 times, 120 times. Chavrusa said, Kvar Maspik. 90 times is enough. He got a chazer a lot. That's what we should learn from Chacham Avadya. We should chazer. He was a Moira Dika Masmid, the same thing Rav Al Yashiv. Mishuna Dika Masmid. They knew everything because there were such Masmidim. It didn't fly in from heaven. It was a Yagiyav Amola Shaltar. They worked very hard. The Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanarim regarding Hasmada. We have an obligation to learn Torah, the Hasmada. So what does Hasmada mean? So it says, Lechem Aponim has to sit on the Shulchan, Lechem Panim Lefanai, Tomid. The Lechem Aponim has to sit Behasmada on the Shulchan. So what does it mean Behasmada? So the Mishnah has a Machlekes Hatanoim in the Mishnah Menachos, Perek Shtei Lechem. Shtei Lechem is something else, but in the same Perek it talks about Shtei Lechem and Lechem Aponim. So the Mishnah has a Machlekes on Shabbos morning, they would take off the old Lechem Aponim that was there the week before, and they would put on the new Lechem Aponim that was just baked yesterday. So one Tana says, they can take off the old Lechem Aponim at 6 o'clock in the morning, put on the new Lechem Aponim late in the afternoon, as long as he didn't miss a day. That's called Behasmada. As long as the Shulchan wasn't missing Lechem any day of the week. The other Tana says, no. They had two sets of Kohanim. These Kohanim would take off the old Lechem Aponim, and the others would put on the new Lechem Aponim. Their fist was touching their fist. So literally, Behasmada means every second there should be Lechem Aponim sitting on the Shulchan all the time. So the Gemara says, just like there's a Machlekes Hatanoim, what's the definition of Hasmada regarding the Lechem Aponim, so too there would be the same Machlekes would apply to learning Behasmada. The Pasuk says in Yeshua, V'hagisa ba yomam v'layla, we should learn Torah Behasmada. So what does Hasmada mean? So one time I would say, Hashmek Tabik every day, as long as you learn 5 minutes every day, good enough. Or it says, V'hagisa yomam v'layla, 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes every night. And the other Tana would say, no, Yom HaValayla, all day and all night, when you have free time, when you have to go to sleep, when you have to eat meals, when you have to make a parnasa, it's not free time. And whatever, any free moment that you have to learn Basmada Merubah. That's the problem. The Rambam has a stira. The Rambam, when he describes the Lechem Aponim, so he says they did Tivcha Shalzeh B'tzat Tivcha Shalzeh. The fist of these Kohanim was touching the fist of the other Kohanim. They didn't leave the Shulchan without Lechem Aponim for a moment. And then in Hilchas Tamatar, the Rambam does not accept that view. Most of the Rishonim do not accept that view. There's a minority opinion that we really hope, literally, have to learn every single free moment of the day that you have. So that's the Lechem Mishnah Yastar Kashim. The Rambam quotes the opinion by Lechem Aponim that Hasmada means, literally, every moment of the day. The Lechem Aponim should be sitting on the Shulchan. Hasmada by Tamadur should be every single free moment you should be mechuyev to learn. So the Pischid Shuvah quotes this discussion. The Rasha Mishanim and the Birkei Yosef quotes. The Rasha Mishanim would pass like that. One is obligated to learn every free minute of the day and the night. You have to chazer a lot. You have to learn the Hasmada. You're not going to chazer. You won't remember anything. Good.
Five
o'clock.
So
take a
break to walk downstairs.
This was a Shia Prati. A private Shia.
Anybody needing to get some forms for me?